kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Cole, are you there?
Hi.
Yes, she's Hi. Here.
Hi, Cole. How are you doing?
I'm afraid of the dark.
Is it dark with you right now?
Yes, and I'm sitting outside stealing my in-laws' Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very brave of you.
My internet went down.
You know, I don't love the dark either. I'm not sure I could do that. So yeah, I'm impressed.
I live in redneck land. We have coyotes. I'm scared.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where's that? Where's redneck land?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Oh, okay. Great chicken, though. Huh? So I hear. Great chicken.
Yeah.
So I hear. I don't really eat it very much, but so I hear. It's great.
I have 40 of those, so maybe they'll protect me from the coyotes.
Maybe.
Seriously? Wow. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
If not, then maybe one of the 9 ducks might.
So I've recently moved to I'm English, but just recently moved to Vancouver, and there are actually things like coyotes and bears and things that actually you have to watch out for. Whereas in England, there's like dogs and foxes and cats, and that's it. So like I'm starting to understand, you know, your fear right now.
We have coyotes, snakes. There's rumors
over
whether or not there are bears.
Like, oh my goodness.
Everybody says there's a reason the road next to us is called Bear Branch.
Right, I guess, yeah, that can't be random.
You know, yeah. So, but that said, I've lived on Raccoon Branch for 16 years, and I've never seen a raccoon, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. That's encouraging.
Somebody lied. Somebody lied.
It's like a tourist thing. Like, oh, yeah, you want to see some bears? Go to Bear Branch. That's where you need to go.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know that it's a tourist thing. I live in a town of 42 people. It's a small.
Oh, my
Nobody
God.
Nobody even
wow.
knows we're here. Yeah, and I'm related to most of them.
Oh, wow. Is that 42? Can you have a town with 40 people? That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
is that enough people to be qualified as a town?
We used to qualify as a city, but then our mayor got indicted for embezzlement, so we don't qualify as a city because we don't have a mayor anymore.
Well, surely like places like New York then couldn't be a city because aren't there mayors all the time being embezzled and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, but ours actually got put in jail for it, so that's and nobody else will run. And because it's such a small area, you have to live within the city limits. And most of the population doesn't because it's so rural that the majority of us that live here can't even run for mayor if we wanted to.
Whoa.
So for SOL.
That's such an interesting like situation. Wow.
Maybe you should run.
I don't live in city limits.
Time to move.
Yeah.
You could use the podcast as a platform.
Remember that whole right?
Spread your
I
like ideals.
On a dirt road. The way that they measure out how far people live here, like your mailing address is how far you are from a blacktop road.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's
like they measure out how far from the blacktop to your mailbox. That's your address.
Okay. So what's your address then? What would that be in this context?
Ours is 1311 and we are 1.311 miles from blacktop.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool. or not. I mean, I don't know if you like it, but that's really interesting for me.
I love it. I'm antisocial, so it's cool.
Yeah. All right. Okay. But yeah, that's really interesting. I've never spoken to someone who's like had that situation. That's really interesting.
Yeah, we don't play. When we say rural, we mean rural.
You mean, yeah. You're not kidding.
And you're not sure if there's bears out there?
Yeah.
It sounds like it should be guaranteed that there's bears
sounds
out
like
there.
There's probably, there's more bears than there are people. Definitely. If you've got 42 people, there's definitely more bears.
Like, we know that they're in the general we know they're like in the general area. I think it was maybe 4 or 5 months ago, somebody out on the highway. And that's about 15 miles from us. I mean, if they're there, obviously, it's likely they're closer.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, you were breaking up a little bit there. Hopefully it was just a little hiccup.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. We should probably get to the show before your internet connection just like completely shits out.
You're already recording.
Oh, I thought that was gold. That should be the show. That's it now, guys.
Technically, it is recording. I just didn't do an intro yet.
You haven't needed to. We've gelled so well.
All right. Fuck it. I'll I'll keep all of it, and I'll just do an intro now. So what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Cole, you're here.
I'm here,
Is that a good intro?
Mm-hmm. Want to tell the people who we're talking to?
Joining us today on the show, Jay Armstrong. How are you doing today, sir?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Thank you very much for having me on today. I'm really excited to talk to you guys.
I am thrilled to have you on. You are from Massive Monsters. You just released the game The Adventure Pals. For the people who don't know what this game is and why Cole and I are so in love with it, give us the sales pitch.
If you don't know what it is, it's an action-packed adventure game where you take on the role of a young boy who's out to rescue his dad from being turned into a hot dog. But fear not, you have your best friend Sparkles, the magical giraffe, who lives in your backpack, and Mr. Rock, your pet rock, who, as you upgrade, you get lots of abilities, and some of them are for him as well. And it's just this big, wide open adventure game where the idea is to just kind of put a stupid, dumb grin on your face. And that's it. We're not going to ask any more of you aside from that. So that's what The Adventure Pals is.
I can't even hear you describe the game without giggling over here.
Oh, I should say also it's for, it's on Steam, but it's also for Xbox, PlayStation, and the Switch as well. And it's out everywhere now. Today we launched for the Switch in the EU. That got a little bit delayed, unfortunately, but that's out today. So, as of today, we are out, in North America and Europe and Australia, on all those platforms.
So it's just everywhere. If you have something that plays video games, you can play it pretty much.
Yeah, and you should play it as well. Get out there and get it right now.
Well, I know we covered it on the show.
Speaking of it being everywhere. No, Joe, yeah, you're going to calm down for a minute because I segued.
You're going to have to remember that you're on like a little bit of a delay because of your internet fuck up. So you can't yell at me.
I will always yell at you. But speaking of it being everywhere, when I was originally looking up information on you guys in Adventure Pals before I started playing, I discovered that there was actually an Adventure Pals Flash game at one point.
Yeah, exactly. So the Adventure Pals is kind of like almost like a superhero reboot of Super Adventure Pals. So in 2012, I met this guy online called Julian Wilton, who is the artist of the game. And at the time, we were both kind of, kids who were just like, let's just make a game. Let's just do it. And we created Super Adventure Pals, which, I mean, if you look at it now, it looks kind of horrible, but at the time, it wasn't so bad. But it was, that's where we got all our kind of ideas came together. I kind of wanted to make this like 2D Banjo-Kazooie style game. And he'd drawn this, picture of this giraffe. And I just thought that sounded really cool.
Oh God.
Uh-oh. I didn't do it.
Hello, guys.
Hello. There you are.
Hey, sorry about that. Yeah.
With me.
My phone just went off. So I got disconnected. I'm really sorry about that.
That's fine. So
I can, let me just pick it up from where did I get cut off?
Something about the giraffe and you wanted to do a Banjo-Kazooie game and.
Right. Okay.
And so I'm presuming a lot of drugs were involved too.
Oh, so many drugs, ridiculous amounts of drugs.
Hopefully that doesn't affect the Peggy and ESRB rating.
No. Well, actually, we get asked that a lot. Like a lot of the times the questions are like even more straightforward. Like, what drugs were you guys on and can I have some? But
yeah, that was kind of what I was going to ask. So,
right. Well, can you have some? to be honest, like it's not like Julie and I, we have this weird sense of humor and, obviously there are no drugs or anything involved. We just kind of kind of set each other off. And we have this weird thing where, like, if an idea is too straightforward, then we've got to make it weirder. And that's kind of, we kept pushing each other. So, for example, in the Adventure Pals, pick up a kitten and put it in a basket. And that's because, like, I'd created, like, okay, well, we need a thing where you have a key and you put it in the door and that opens the door. And Julian was like, that's not weird enough. And I was like, okay, well, what about a flying kitten that follows you around and you put it in a basket? So that's kind of how we designed the game.
That is incredible. I love it so much.
Yeah, thank you. And guys, I love listening to your podcast when you guys were talking about it. And we have since addressed the issues that you guys brought up. And I really appreciate, like, you being so positive about it as well. That was really great for us to hear. We've been working on the game for such a long time and put so much blood, sweat, and tears into it that to hear you guys being positive really meant a lot.
How long have you been working on it?
Okay, so as a project, so you guys, as you know, there's Super Adventure Pals, the Flash game, and then we started on Super Adventure Pals 2, the Flash game. And we were kind of working on that for 2 years before we realized, you know, the Flash game scene wasn't going to be continuing in a way where it was kind of feasible to make a game and to continue kind of making a living from it. And we kind of had to make a difficult decision where we decided to kind of scrap that. So after that, we then approached various people to kind of help us fund the game to make a real, like, Steam console game. And once we kind of secured that with Armor Games, who we've known for a long time, then it was like 2.5 years after that. So it's been 4.5 kind of years as a project, 2.5 as the game that you guys currently know.
That is a long time.
That really is. How much panicking was involved when you discovered there was a glitched achievement on Xbox because I hassled you?
Oh, my goodness. Turtle, I still haven't calmed down. My hands are still shaking. we've had, like, a very long, like, process of, like, fixing bugs and making sure everything worked. And then, like, when we submitted everything to be approved, suddenly there were last minute issues that kind of needed to be approved really, fixed really quickly. And then that led to then various mistakes being left in because after everything being perfect, we had then had. So yeah, it's, I hate that there are things in the game that aren't perfect, but I hope that we can address everything as quickly as possible. We've got a whole bunch of patches out there waiting to be approved. So hopefully soon it'll all be good.
I've never had the pleasure of being first to complete a game, and I was there this time, and I was going to be the first person to complete it, and everybody's, like, messaging me going, why haven't you popped that achievement? What's going on? I'm like, I don't know.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not going to get first.
So basically what she's saying is as soon as that patch goes live, you need to message her directly and be like, go now.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Well, just so you know, it was submitted days ago. So as soon as I hear it's approved, you will hear it. So yeah, you've got to be first. You've got to be first.
Yes, I do. Please.
There's what?
You
only
have
like
a very happy
people?
Redneck on your hands. Because, like, every day I get up crazy ass early because I got kids to get on the bus and stuff. And every day, as soon as I get up, I'm like, oh, I got to go check to see if there's an update yet. And there's not. And I'm like, shit.
Oh. You know, the problem is, like, we've submitted it quite a while ago as well. So we're there with you, like, waiting on it as well. So
yeah.
Please, always, like, yeah.
That's one thing I at least try to be understanding of, because I realize that Microsoft has their own timeline for that shit. And I can sit there and will a patch as much as I want, but you guys can only have so much that you can do. And once it's out of your hands, then you just got to listen to me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And exactly. But I mean, yeah. So we hope it's going to go live any minute, and we'll just, and it won't be long. I'm sure it'll be really soon. We love Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo. You guys are all amazing. So thank you.
I can't wait for the patch to go live during this recording.
And and my internet's out. That's when it's going to go live. And I'm just going to be like, tomorrow, and then I'm going to check TA, and it'll be like, congratulations, you were 74. So I'm going to be like, fuck everything. And then I'll just come back here and rip my internet back out again.
Yeah, like, change your review of the game, go back and just be like, no, I hated
change
every second
mind.
Of it.
Deny it. This is some bullshit. And so what, besides us raving and glowing over the game, what has the reception been so far?
In general, it's been similar to you guys, really. I think there's like a vein of humor in it, like a sense of humor in it that certain people really kind of get. And I think you guys are one of those people, and I'm one of those people, and we have a similar sense of humor. And I think those people definitely get it. I think in general, when we've had anything fortunately so far, we haven't had anything too negative. The only criticism we've had is like, various achievements, that haven't quite worked yet. And Steam should be good. And we're waiting on those patches to go live. But the other thing is just like, some people want a harder game. But the Adventure Pals is not designed to be a harder game. It's designed for you to play it and to just have fun the whole way through. So we've seen some people kind of resent the fact that it's not, you know, it's not Super Meat Boy, you know, but that's not what this game is. And so I think as long as people respect that what we've tried to do is create something that's just fun and is, like I said, trying to put a dumb grin on your face. and in general, people understand that. And those people seem to be really positive, which is wonderful.
I think it's nice to see a platformer that's accessible to people who might not be Super Meat Boy level. Like, I play a lot of platform. I play a lot of everything for this fucking show. But I play a lot of platformers. And I'm not good at games like Electronic Super Joy and Super Meat Boy. Like, I try. I love them. I think they're incredible, but I just don't get anywhere. And then, like, I just breezed through Adventure Pals, and I was like, this is the first time I've played a platformer where, like, I didn't sit and repeat a level 748 times. And I was glad for that. And then I was able to hand the controller to my kid and be like, oh, how are you going to do? And my five-year-old can play this game. That's amazing.
You know, that's some of my favorite things to hear is that, like, some people like, oh, I played it and then I gave it to my kid and they were like, they had the best time with it. And I just thought, like, a lot of indie games don't include younger players as well, and I was so happy to hear that the Adventure Pals does. So yeah, I'm really happy to hear that. That really really makes me happy.
To be fair, my five-year-old could probably smoke me a Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, actually, to be fair, like, kids these days have grown up with it, and they could destroy us. So actually, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
It seems like with a lot of platformers, like, sometimes they're just made to be hard with the goal of just being hard. And to see one that's accessible and can be played, and, you know, you don't have to spend countless hours trying over and over to get somewhere, it's a breath of fresh air. It really is.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that, because we definitely didn't set out to make a, you know, super difficult, you know, Twitch style, like, you know, crazy reaction, insane platform. We kind of wanted to make something that was just fun and made you feel like you're on an adventure. And that, you know, you could take your time and you could explore and you could, it wasn't going to punish you for doing that. So, I'm really glad to hear that you guys feel that, that's what it is. And I think, like, some type of gamers do just want, like, to be challenged. And so this probably isn't the game for them, but for everyone else, I hope that they'll give it a shot and kind of, let the Adventure Pals, put a grin on their face.
Have you guys considered doing like a hardcore mode or something to satiate the masochists out there who just want a harder game?
I kind of feel like if you look at the graphics and you want a hard game from like a giraffe with a big dumb like tongue hanging out his face and like a pet rock, then you're probably looking in the wrong direction. But actually, to seriously answer your question, people have kind of mentioned that, like, why is there no kind of difficulty grading on it? And it's because, like, that's not the game we set out to make. But if there is enough interest in the game and it kind of continues and people are, you know, people want that, you know, in some time from now, then maybe that's something we could think about. You know, we could definitely kind of put in something where the enemies get scaled up even harder, just to give you a bit more challenge or stuff like that. But it would really just require the game to kind of be successful enough for it to justify us putting in new modes and things like that. And at the moment, it's too kind of early to tell.
You could just be a real dick about things and make it one hit death.
Would you call that like Iron Man mode or something like that? That could be kind of fun, actually. Maybe we could do that.
That could be fun. I would die horribly, but that would be fun.
I feel like it would be a lot less fun. It would be less fun than the current game. Like,
Games Done Quick is going to have an Adventure Pals run. Like, I want to see that. Because it's the speedrunning aspect. The game is really well set up for speedrunning, even though that is totally not my thing at all. Like, I can't speedrun to save my life. As soon as I saw the speedrun achievement, I was like, yep, not completing this, bye. But I did it on accident. And I was just like, what did I just do?
Whoops, I just got an achievement. I think that's true. I think like a lot of people, you could jump over the enemies and you could just rush by it. But I think if you're doing like a proper playthrough, that's not what the game encourages you to do. But I think like, yeah, you could totally just rush through. And also if you kind of super leveled up, you could go back to earlier stages and beat up the enemies in a few hits and just get to the end and speed run it. So I'd be excited to see that as well.
Dark Mika in our chat room said that if you do a hardcore mode, no achievements, because that would be depressing.
Yeah, please. I want to keep my completion when I finally get it.
Think of all the completions you would destroy if you added an achievement to beat it on hardcore mode or Iron Man mode.
Oh my God. I feel like there's already been enough unsatisfaction with the way the achievements are already, so I don't want to touch those. So yeah, maybe that's something we review in a few months' time. but one thing I wanted to say, did you sort of you said you were playing this and you sometimes have arthritis, but that this game didn't. Yeah. So for me, that was absolutely awesome to hear. I was actually playing some other games on the Switch, and my thumbs were like killing me at the end of it. And to hear that like the Adventure Pals didn't do that to you, was really awesome as well. So I just wanted to thank you for sort of saying that. That's awesome.
It's something that a lot of people when they're developing games don't really think about, because you don't have to think about it. But
yeah,
I've mentioned it a million times on the show before. Anybody that's listened to me is going to roll their eyes. I have rheumatoid disease and my fingers are crooked. And that kind of affects how I play certain games. And with Adventure Pals, I didn't get the kind of hand and wrist fatigue that I would normally get playing a platformer. Like normally with a platformer, I'm like, okay, I can play, you know, one level, maybe to get through it, not worry about my time, and then put it down for a little while and go like watch some TV or something because my hands are going to hurt. And I didn't have that problem. Like I felt like I was moving enough and manipulating the controls in a way that my hands were never static enough to get tired. It wasn't like I was just constantly hitting A like with Super Meat Boy to jump from wall to wall to wall or whatever.
Right.
It was just like, it was a comfortable flow of gameplay.
That's perfect. That's great. That's what we were hoping for. So awesome. I'm glad.
And you didn't even know that an arthritic chick was going to be grading you on a curve of like, is this Deadpool friendly?
No, I think that's why I was so happy, because I didn't realize like to think about it, but I'm glad that it worked out.
I'm like afraid to ask anything because I don't want Cole to yell at me.
It's your show.
Like I'm just sitting here patiently waiting for a lull to see if like, is she going to say something? Can I say something?
You can say something, Joe. It's okay.
Sweet.
So you can ask me anything you want.
Anything, that's what I'm here for. Anything at all.
You go for it, man. Blank check.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm right. How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah.
Cole, your turn.
No.
No. I'm wondering.
No stress from launching in the. No, you told me it was my turn. Now, fuck off, Joe.
Did you see that delay by the time she finally heard that? That was what, like 8 seconds? Go ahead, ask your question.
I'm sorry, I'm stealing internet, Joe. I forgot it now.
Did we even explain that? Like why your internet is all fucked up tonight?
Not on air, we didn't, no.
So, yeah, Cole, what happened to your internet tonight?
There was a windstorm and it blew the swimming pool on top of the house. And that caused the phone line to dip into the road, and it got hit by a school bus, and it got ripped out of the house. So I have no phone or internet.
That is fantastic.
Sad face.
Wow. So where are you handling this call from right now?
Under the tree in the front yard, and I'm afraid of the dark.
What else are you afraid of?
The coyote is going to come get me from behind. There we go, coyotes.
I'm just wondering, you haven't seen any bears around there, but you're worried about coyotes. What if a bear comes to attack you, but a coyote saves you?
Ooh.
Maybe the coyote could be my best... Oh, Lord, my redneck fell out. The coyote could be...
A coyote.
Maybe the coyote could be my best friend and the bear could just fuck off. I've heard rumors of panthers too, but I'm just going to pretend that's not a thing. Like some kind of mountain lion things.
There's just a zoo hanging out by you, isn't there?
Basically, just, I mean, there's
more
animals.
Is that a fucking rhinoceros? What the hell?
Deer will run you.
Guys, I hope you're not forgetting the giraffes.
There's a good question. Like, what made you think of a giraffe flying with its tongue?
Yeah, that is a good question, actually. So we dropped all this acid. And, no, I'm just kidding. No, I think it was... as I mentioned before, we kind of wanted to do this Banjo-Kazooie-style thing where you had the person running around, but you had an animal that kind of helped you out. And I thought, why not a giraffe? Because the long neck could be used as like a grappling hook or grab enemies. You know, you could do all sorts of things with that. And then Julian, the artist, just sent me this animation of the tongue spinning around like a helicopter. And that was it. That was the next like 5 years. Like we made the Super Adventure Pals, and then we're making the Adventure Pals after that one single animation of a giraffe in your backpack with a tongue spinning around like a helicopter. And actually, if you look closely, there are like little spit particles that come out of the tongue as well.
I saw that.
You saw that? Okay, cool. That's how much that meant to us. So that's kind of what it was. It was like, okay, well, the long neck might be kind of cool. But actually, quite recently, giraffes have moved onto the endangered species list. So it's nothing to do with the game, but you know, they're an amazing animal, and hopefully we can all be aware of them a bit more. I don't know.
Giraffes.
Yeah, we all love giraffes. They're fantastic animals.
Especially when they help you hover.
Exactly.
And it sparkles.
It sparkles, exactly. And
the best thing ever.
And player two has the giraffe corn, which is, I don't know if it's even better, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool up there. Did you guys manage to play much co-op?
No, I just ended up handing the controller to the kids whenever they were like, right. They would just come and stand and watch me play, and I'd be like, you want to play for a minute here?
They're like, yes, it's my game now.
I unfortunately don't have any real local friends, and I have yet to be able to teach my cats how to use an Xbox controller. I'm still trying. I've been trying for years. One of these days it's going to happen.
The lack of opposable thumbs is not an issue. I think it's just their concentration levels. I'm also a proud cat owner, and it's hard to get them to focus for more than a short period of time. But I think it could be done. And
many,
if you could prove
how many cats
it,
do you have?
Just the one. Just the one. How many do you have?
Are you ready for the answer? Are you sure?
Should I sit down?
I got 8.
Mm-hmm. You have 8 cats.
8 cats, yep.
See, wow. My 40 chickens don't sound so crazy now, huh?
Well, I mean, chickens, they lay eggs, but cats are just... What?
Cats are just assholes.
Cats just meow.
I think of them as like teenagers, you know, they're out all night, and then when they come in, they're kind of ungrateful. But
that's especially funny because I have a 14-year-old.
How did you come to own 8 cats? That's almost like a shelter. That's amazing.
Well, we started with one, Noodle, who is actually the cat in my Skype picture.
And I then see it.
We got him through a Wendy's drive-thru. No lie. My wife worked at Wendy's, and someone went to drive through, and she was giving away cats, kittens.
Oh.
And my wife took one through the drive through window, so she got a drive through kitten.
Perfect.
Our second one, Piddles, we got her. My wife just surprised me. She came home from work the one day. I was sleeping, and I woke up to a kitten on my chest. So that was funny.
Oh, that's amazing.
Our third one was Peaches. That was a stray down by my mom's house who was shot with like a paintball gun or something like that. So we took her to a vet. We had her dewormed. We got ticks taken care of, and she just stayed with us. So she was number three.
okay.
Number four, we actually,
I feel like after three, you were just like, yeah, come on in. Like, just join in.
We were done. We were done with three. Yeah, we were happy with three. And then we went, we went to a pet store, and it sounds stupid, but it was one of those like love at first sight things with a cat where the cat who was just like distant and quiet the entire time she's been at that pet store, as soon as we walked in, she like just came to life, and I saw the cat and I just fell in love with it right away.
Wow.
And we decided, well, you know, if we were to get it, if we were getting it, what would we name it? And I was big into Gears of War at the time. I was like, well, it's a female kitten. What about Anya? And she was like, no, that's, I don't know. That's kind of boring. What's that one guy's name? Coltrane? So a tiny female kitten is officially named Coltrane Runs on Whole Grain Baby Woo. Full name.
That is badass.
Full name.
I wish that was my name.
On the adoption sheet and everything, that is her full name.
That's amazing.
And then we were good with four. We were going to stop with four.
Okay.
And then we lost Noodle.
But you were only halfway there. So
yeah.
Get comfortable, guys. Get the popcorn.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we lost Noodle. And we had a rough time coping with that, and we ended up getting another kitten to fill that hole in our heart. So we were back to four, and that was Punk, named after CM Punk. So we're back to four, and we were good with four. We were done.
Okay.
We were fine.
Okay.
My wife was walking home from work one day, and a kitten just started following her. And she like, you know, she would get the kitten, throw it back on the side because it would keep walking into the middle of the road and laying down.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we brought the cat home. We cleaned it up. We asked all the neighbors around the area, is this your kitten? Do you know about this cat? Because it was very friendly. It approached everyone. One of the friendliest cats we've ever had. No one would say, hey, that's ours. We had signs up. It's like lost cat. We found your kitten found, and no one ever claimed her. So she just became our number five, and her name is Potato. Because we have to keep that pee theme going.
That's a cute name for a cat.
And again, we were good. We were happy with five.
Okay.
We were happy.
I mean, a history of six, but five. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We didn't even go from five to six. There was no gradual increase to eight. It was five directly to eight. Because once again, my mom, there was a stray. She lived down by a river. So there was a stray there. Because the river, a lot of people go fishing, and they found the cat with a hook in its mouth.
Oh, God.
So my mom and my sister took the cat to a vet. They had her taken care of. They got her shots, everything else. One of my sister's friends adopted that cat. So cool. Everything's taken care of. Like 3 days later,
meow, meow,
there were kittens. This cat had kittens, and the vet never said anything. There were like five, six kittens there. And, we decided we were going to take one because he was absolutely adorable. And his name is Pork.
Good name for cat.
And then my wife's coworker was supposed to take another cat, a gray one. And she ended up changing her mind. So we were stuck with that one. Her name is Bean. So we have Pork and Bean. And then the last one, my mom was going to take, and then she just wanted us to like watch her until she was litter trained and on solid foods and everything else. And then she changed her fucking mind too. And that number 8 is named Predator. So,
oh, that's cool. That, I was just like, Joe's already got 7. He can have an 8, no problem. Like, actually, yeah. I can't be bothered. He's already got 7. What's one more?
So when people yell at us about, why do you have so many cats? My mom will be like, why do you have so many cats? Why do you need so many cats? Mom, you gave us half of them. These are your fault.
These are your cats.
We were good with 4. We were happy with 3.
How's, like, what does feeding time look like? It must be crazy.
Oh. Yeah, it's pretty insane. Every morning, if you wake up and you're laying in bed for more than 5 minutes, they just start coming in. They're like climbing on your chest. Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I wouldn't be allowed to lie in. It would be like 6, and they'd be like, the one cat we had would sort of be, you know, making noise and kind of tapping me to kind of get me up and feed them. So with 8, I guess you have no chance at all.
Yeah, it can be pretty hectic in mornings, but surprisingly, none of my cats eat cupcakes and then shit out eggs.
What?
Yeah.
Have you?
It's weird.
You should take them to the vet, because that's yeah. not normal. That is not normal, and I'm really worried about them right now.
What made you put that in the game of just feeding a cat cupcakes and then the cat shits out an egg and you get a hat out of it?
Well, I would like to tell you that idea came fully formed, but it didn't exactly. We knew that I kind of, you know, each level should have some kind of collectible, and I just thought a cupcake would be fun. And so we had the cupcake, and then people kept saying to us, like, well, when I collect the cupcakes, what does it do? And it was kind of, well, nothing. You collected the cupcake. That's your reward, kind of thing. So we realized it needed to do something. And so we decided, what could we do? So, okay, well, we can give the player a new hat. We can give Mr. Rock a costume. We talked about giving Sparkles different hats, but it was too difficult because of the way Sparkles is set up in terms of the code and things like that. So this is actually kind of the like taking the magic out answer. And we realized, like, okay, well, we could do that. So how many cupcakes are there going to be? Well, we counted out, okay, well, 5 cupcakes could be one reward. And so we realized, okay, well, like 5, like a baking tin would be a good way to kind of demonstrate you need 5. And then I think I had like a monster. And then Julian, our artist, was like, ah, oh, monsters aren't cute. It needs to be a cat. And then the whole like cat laying an egg never really, that was just how we did it. We didn't really discuss it. That's just how we do things at Massive Monsters. That is just normal to us. I don't even know why that's a question. That's just what cats do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard rumors. It's just mine are all weird. So.
Well, how many cupcakes have you fed them?
None. They don't like them.
Give them 5 and you'll have a new hat, my friend.
Right, I'll give it to Predator. She eats everything.
Oh, really?
Oh my God. She's insane. If you're eating food, this cat has already ran up onto our lap and taken food out of our hand.
Wow. Okay. Aptly named then, Predator.
Yeah. And she's our tiniest cat too.
Those are the ones you got to watch out for.
She's a fucking asshole. She really is. There's no other way to put it. We love her, but she's an asshole. So, speaking of the giraffe.
Were we?
Why did you go with a pink tongue?
Yeah, so that's really a question for the artist. I think he just didn't do any research. I think he's just like, tongues are pink, right? And then drew it. It was only later when people like complained when they saw it, and it was too late by then. So I think he just didn't know that giraffes' tongues aren't pink. I think like lack of research, really, because I don't know if you can tell by this game, but it's extremely thoroughly scientific and researched. So I think that was the one bit that we missed. Do you guys know that we actually won an award from Intel for best game physics? And I think it was from the giraffe tongue, the accuracy of a giraffe tongue, like helicopter physics. So we actually genuinely won an award for like best realistic physics.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you, Intel. So I think it's just like lack of research. I think he didn't know that giraffe's tongues aren't pink. Or that you can't like levitate from the speed of a giraffe tongue rotating. yeah, I think he just, I think he needs to do some science.
Clearly, the solution to all of this is adding more cupcakes, and when you trade those in, you just get different colored tongues.
Yeah.
That would be brilliant.
Black tongue, you have the pink one, you could have orange, blue, purple, just a bunch of different colors. Yeah, rainbow tongue.
Rainbow tongue, yeah. Is there
the potential for DLC?
I think we would definitely love to do DLC. I think we've got, like, we love the world that the Adventure Pals lives in. It's very much like us. Like, it's very much like anything we think of kind of goes. But we also do also kind of try and tie it together a little bit. So we would love to spend more time in that world. And if we could do DLC, we would love to. I think it's just like still a little early. But if the game, if enough people are interested in it, then we would love to kind of expand that world and spend more time in it, for sure.
It is never too early for DLC.
DLC. It came out last week.
Yeah, but I completed it already.
You're right.
No, you didn't.
Oh, no, you're right. You haven't completed it. But
all that patch is never going to come out now.
We would love to be standing outside
the Massive Monster office with a little sign that says, please give me more Adventure Pals.
Or just like a boombox, like held above your head.
Yeah. Okay. Just plays the Adventure Pals theme.
Time for Games says maybe the tongue is pink from cupcakes with pink frosting.
The cupcakes have rainbow frosting, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
so it should be a rainbow tongue. Time has clearly not played Adventure Pals yet.
And then Dark Mika says, I have a rainbow tongue. It's called lesbian tongue. It's fantastic. So that's your fault, Cole.
Yep.
I don't know what to say to that except thumbs up. You do you. So I think we need to get Julian to answer this question. Why is the tongue pink? And I'll have some serious words with him. It won't be pretty. Someone's getting fired. Things will be said that later we'll wish we hadn't said.
Listen, Julian, we've had it with your shit, man.
Exactly. Do your research, dude.
Getting the tongue colors wrong and everything.
Exactly. Who do you think you are, my friend? But there's a green trumpet. So, you know, the game is going to do its thing.
Very true. Very, very true. So you said the game has been worked on in various forms for a number of years now. Have you taken it to different trade shows and conventions to show off?
Yeah, we have. We've done many, many shows over the years. And in fact, doing those shows has really had a big impact on the design of the game. So when we actually started with it, we actually kind of had a bit more of a darker sense of humor. We kind of had blood, and it was like almost South Park. It was a bit kind of, it looked cute, but actually it was quite dark. But the problem we found with that was that because it was so cute, we found that at these expos, younger players would be drawn to it, and they'd play it, and then they'd be horrified. And their parents would kind of give us these horrible looks like, what have you done?
How much have you had to pay for therapy?
So much. Oh my goodness. So much. So we kind of went away and we kind of thought like, well, look, we're actually like drawing these people in. Why are we alienating them? That's not fun. Let's just have a game that everyone can enjoy. And that was when we kind of decided to kind of go for the kind of all ages sense of humor and all ages, like take out the blood, just kind of like we have like the bones pop out, which is kind of oddly funny to me. I don't know why. And we have things in it that are just kind of dopey and stupid. And it's not dark at all. And I'm really glad that we went that direction because, like I said earlier, like it's wonderful to hear, like, you know, someone say that they played with their kids and they enjoyed it as much as I did. And for me, that's much more rewarding than trying to be like, oh, we're this really clever, like dark thing that you'll never understand kind of thing. Like I kind of over that way of thinking. So that was really cool. And also things like there's like a little ledge grab. And that's quite a good example where people would kind of jump and they'd slightly miss their jump and then they'd fall down and, oh, it was a bit frustrating. And so we just put the little ledge grab in, and the next kind of show that we went to, people just like played the game so much better. And we were like, okay, perfect. That's, we solved that problem. So yeah, I mean, going to expos, to other game developers, I would say is one of the most valuable things you can do, and you should definitely do it. Even if your game's not out, you won't obviously make any money back from it, but it's an amazing way to have hundreds of people play test your game. And as long as you watch them and resist the urge to say, oh, press this button, do this, just sit back and watch them and you will learn so much, and it's super duper valuable.
Do you have any kind of really fun, crazy stories from people who played the game and were either like super, super good at the game or just completely awful at it?
I'm kind of putting me on the spot there. I think that actually, the answer to that is sadly no. Like, I think like in general, I've seen people like play with their 5-year-olds and play the game and be fine at it. I've seen like, you know, older kids like be into it. I've seen all sorts of people be able to do it. And I think that that just comes from having like shown it to so many people and watching what they like struggle with and then addressing that issue. And like, I definitely had a policy of whenever someone complains about anything, addressing it, because like 1,000 like tiny little fixes adds up. And hopefully in the end, you get like a much more polished thing. And it's one of those things, like, it's like in a band when you have a good drummer, you don't notice it. But when you have a bad one, you do. So it's like, it's a, so it's a case of like, addressing 1,000 little tiny things, and hopefully that adds up. But I do remember actually now that I've been stalling for time, I do remember someone being very angry at me because we had the blue, XP orbs that like led to you leveling up. But you would collect them and then the blue thing would like, the blue bar would expand, but you would never associate the two. So he was very angry. He's like, well, why are you collecting these orbs? And it's like, oh, because you're getting XP, and people get XP from killing enemies, and that's a standard game thing. He's like, well, I don't know that. It's like, okay, well, there's a bar there and you can see it, you know. And he's like, oh. And so I kind of went away, and now the little blue orbs shoot up to the XP bar, and they hit the bar and the bar grows. And it's like, I know like a million games do this, it's fine, but it's something that I learned. And it kind of made me realize, right, you can't take anything for granted. You have to signpost everything. If this blue orb that you pick up is going to increase a bar, that blue orb needs to fly up and touch that bar, and that bar then needs to increase, because otherwise people are going to yell at you that you don't know at expos, and you're going to have to deal with them. So lesson learned.
I'll be honest, for like the first, I don't know, half hour I played the game, I didn't even notice the XP orbs. Okay. Until I leveled up, because they just kind of blended in with the background at first, and I wasn't really paying attention that much. And then once I leveled up, I was kind of like, what the hell? Oh, yeah. The little blue orbs. Okay.
And that's kind of how I wanted it to be. Like, I didn't like that I was signposting it. So I think afterwards you're like, you get it. But for me, like the coolest thing about the Adventure Pals is that you start off and you're jumping and you're running with your dad. It's like, oh, okay, it's fine. And then you are in a town. You're like, oh, okay, I can talk to people. Okay. And then you come out to the world map and you're like, oh, it's this whole thing that I'm going to explore. And then you level up, like you said, and you're like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? And that's kind of what we wanted to do. So I'm really glad that that was your experience, because we wanted to just kind of, we didn't want to like at the first, you know, first you start the game, it's like, okay, you will level up and this will happen. We wanted you to kind of
figure it out,
discover
on your own.
Discover it on your own. Exactly.
One of my favorite things about watching people streaming the game on Twitch and Mixer and stuff, and they don't realize when they level up that they get the 3 cards to choose from, but they think if they choose one, the other two are just gone forever. And so then they sit and panic over which one they're going to choose. And I'm just sitting there dying inside.
You're like, no. Amateurs. Exactly.
But you just sit and watch people really sit and mull for a good 10 minutes over which card to choose. I'm like, you're going to get them all.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, that was something else that we had to deal with was before we actually had the three choices, and then you choose one, and that one would get replaced, but the other two would stay there. And that was something that people just got really frustrated with, because they're like, well, I didn't want those two because I chose the other one. But we found if you kind of send them back and then they're back, you know, two levels up later, people don't mind having the choice again. But it's really interesting the way people react. Like, as you say, it's really funny to watch people like sweating, like, which one am I going to choose? Because I guess it's more like Nuclear Throne, where you only get a certain amount. But in this game, like, you will get to the end and you will get them all. But like, yeah, when we had it where there were three choices, you chose one, those two would come back, but you get a fresh one. People really resented that. Like, people got really angry about that. So that was another learning curve. So like, they do shuffle a bit more now as well. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You will get them all. But it is just interesting which design things people kind of react to. And I think we've learned so much by doing this game.
Were there any perks that didn't make the cut that you were considering?
Actually, there was one that, like, I really wanted to make work for so long, and it was, I called it the power of friendship. And what it was, like, you'd send a heart out to an enemy, and then the enemy would become a pal, become best friend, and fight on your side for a while. And it, you know, I had it in the game, and it was working fine, but the problem with it is that when you're actually fighting, you kind of smash everyone up pretty quickly. Like, it's a big old chaotic button mash. So having someone else fight with you is like, isn't totally that useful. And then they'd have to follow you. It fell apart really because of the way the game actually works in reality. So that was something I really wanted to make work, but couldn't in the end. So that was one thing that we scrapped.
Yeah.
Save it for the sequel.
Yeah, there you go. Are you guys yeah. considering a sequel already?
I mean, like, we're only 2 weeks in, so not yet.
So that's a yes.
Oh, yeah, totally. We've already started work.
Cole might stab you if you don't say yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, in that case, yeah.
I will send a coyote to visit.
A coyote? Well, maybe the coyote could be the new pal. Maybe it could be the new pal. A giraffe and
a
coyote.
As long as it gets a rainbow tongue, because, you know, we don't know what color the tongue really is anyway.
Exactly. Right. Julian should do some research this time.
There you go.
There you go.
So what is next for you guys? Are you just, you know, considering DLC for this game? Are you planning a new project? Or is it just at the point where you're like, let's take a goddamn break for a bit?
Oh, no, we're not taking a break at all. We are back on the road already. So we are supporting the Adventure Pals. We really hope more people will discover it, and we hope as many people find it as possible. But we're also working on a game called Never Give Up, and we've been working on it in conjunction at the same time as the Adventure Pals. And that's a much more kind of twitchy, kind of difficult, kind of Meat Boy style platformer. And then on top of that, we are talking about the next kind of big project that we work on. And we've got an idea that we're super excited about, but it's kind of too early to kind of talk about just yet. Mm-hmm. But maybe in a few months, we can kind of tell you guys what we're thinking. But yeah, so we kind of already back at work. But, you know, it's been amazing with the Adventure Pals, and we really hope more people come across it, and we really hope more people discover it, and, you know, people spread it to their friends. It's been an amazing journey. It's been like 5 years. But we unfortunately already are having to kind of think about what the next thing's going to be.
Why unfortunately?
Oh, sorry. Well, because, you know, it'd be great to just retire to the Bahamas.
Oh, okay.
But, you know,
I thought it was like, well, the game came out. It's been 2 weeks. It sold 7 copies. So we're kind of fucked. We need to see what we're doing next.
Yeah, right. No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. People thank God. Really
responding well to it. I just meant, you know, unfortunately we got things to do, you know, massive monster. We got work to do. We got games to make, you know, we're not going to sit around. So, Never Give Up coming out soon, hopefully. And then we have this other project that we're working on. So the cool thing is, because we all came from a background of making lots of little games all the time, that we're always kind of wanting to get the next project out there as soon as we've got something else out. But having said that, if you haven't played The Adventure Pals, don't wait for our next game. Please check out The Adventure Pals.
I agree in every possible way. I absolutely agree. In the review, I mentioned a couple of times that it felt so much like a love letter to the behemoth. And after talking to you and hearing that, yeah, that's kind of where you guys started as well. It all just clicked and made sense.
That's awesome to hear. I've spoken to some friends who are just like, yeah, when I play the Avenged Pals, it's like having a conversation with you guys. It's very much, it's just totally you guys, the weirdness. You guys are weird guys, but you're kind of funny guys and you're kind of nice guys. And that's kind of who you are. And the Adventure Pals is definitely who we are. It's very honest, in a weird kind of way.
Oh man. I know we've been chatting for quite a bit here. Cole, did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask?
No, I think I'm pretty good. I think I've rambled through my list.
Well, if you guys have anything else, I'd love to come back anytime. You guys are amazing, and I so appreciate the review you guys did, and having me on as well is just like, it's just great. I just love that people want to talk about our weird game, you know. It's great.
I appreciate the fact that you listened to our review and still wanted to come on the show.
It was pretty positive, I gotta say.
just our brand of insanity as well.
Yeah,
I don't get that feedback much, even when I do a positive review. I've had positive ones where they've been like, yeah, okay, well, we heard you. Bye, thanks. Have a nice day. I'm like, okay. I said good thing.
I thought it was a positive one. It felt like a positive one to me. It was. I don't know. Okay.
I think it was a very positive review. I adore the game so much.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Wonderful.
I think the last question I might have is, why confetti when you run?
Why not?
Okay, I was just going to give you a weird answer.
Why not is a good answer, but I'm just curious, like, what led to, we need more color.
Okay, I can give you the real answer, because we've been talking for a while, I feel like I can trust you. The real answer is that we were changing the jump heights. So it was originally you tap it and that was the height. But now if you hold it for longer, you jump a bit more. And to visualize that, I wanted to put some particles. And we have, you know, when you complete a quest, there's confetti, right? So I just put in the confetti as like a test. And the first time I jumped and it released confetti, so my mind opened up.
And you're like, this is staying. This is perfect.
This is exactly. And there was no discussion with anyone else. It just stayed. No one was ever like, hey, what's with the confetti out the butt? It was just like, everyone was just like, yes, this is the game. Yes, exactly.
Just assumed it come out of the backpack.
Exactly. That's what I meant to say, the backpack.
It's just farting confetti the entire game.
It's just like, yeah, exactly.
I've had too many cupcakes.
the problem is, like, when you work on something for so long, you stop seeing things. So, like, I stopped seeing the confetti, and I kind of almost forgot it was in there. So when people are like, why is there confetti when he jumps? I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to take that out. Oh my goodness. Whoops.
I'm glad it's there.
Me too. I think it ties in with the theme.
We're talking about a game with a designated toot button, so.
That exactly. It ties in pretty well.
I mean, if you have a toot button, why not at this point just throw in an Easter egg or like an unlockable where every time you jump, it's just fart noises?
Now you're just encouraging me. You're an enabler, sir.
I am. That's what this show is for, to give developers awful ideas that hopefully show up in the game.
Well,
the first time I saw the toot button,
I was like,
I bet this passes gas and the enemies get sick and get poisoned from it. And then I just hit it and nothing happened. And I was like, that might be even better because this is there.
I'm so happy it worked.
Yeah, if you update the game with a fart mode in there, all I want is like a special thanks in the credits. That's it.
You've got it. You might get one anyway.
Going all heroes.
When I put that trumpet in, I was like, this is my job. This is what I do. This is bizarre.
Living the dream. Sorry, Mom and Dad. Living the dream.
Living the dream. Exactly.
Oh,
my daughter wants to be a game developer. And so it's just like, I imagine in a good I don't know, 10 years or so, she's going to make her first game with a shoot button and be like, sorry. And I'm going to be like, it's cool.
You've learned well.
I'll be so proud. I'll be like, I know where that came from. Yes.
That's we'll make sure you get a special thanks in the credits, too.
Yeah, exactly. The origin of the green trumpet, Jay Armstrong. Thank you very much.
Oh, Jesus. Well, Jay, it has been fantastic having you on the show. Everyone else, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from Adventure Pals, because I actually went and bought the soundtrack so I could play it on the show. And oh, wow. It is awesome. So goddamn good. So we're going to listen to a song and we'll be back with more show. Jay, do you have any final words or final plugs to wrap this up?
I guess my final plug would be, thank you for listening to me. And if you haven't checked out the Adventure Pals, I would urge you to do so. If you thought it was interesting hearing me talk, then, the Adventure Pals is for you. And, we really appreciate anyone who checks out the game. So thank you very much for your time.
One more time, where is it and how much is it?
It's $15 US dollars across the board. It's available on Steam, GOG, that's PC and Mac. It's available on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and the Xbox One. So if you're interested in the game, you've got no excuse. It's everywhere. So don't hide from it. Just embrace it.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks again to Jay for dropping by and chatting with us about the Adventure Pals. The game is awesome. Seriously, you gotta get that if you haven't got it yet. Right, Cole?
I love Adventure Pals.
It is so good. It is so ridiculous, so over the top, so crazy.
I may have been grocery shopping with my mother-in-law today and trying to explain Adventure Pals to my 65-year-old mother-in-law.
Wait, you were grocery shopping? I thought you were stuck outside underneath your tree.
I went grocery shopping. I am no longer under the tree. It's the magic of podcasting, and thus I am no longer under the tree.
Editing.
I have my own interweb back. It has no longer been hit by a bus.
We just played music for 18 hours instead.
Basically, yeah. Pretty much.
But we do have more show to take care of. We have some news, some reviews. Let's start things off. It was a hell of a week for backward compatibility with the Xbox One. There was only one game added so far, but there was a shitload of more news to go with it. The game that was added on Tuesday was Sonic Generations, which not only joins the backward compatibility program, but it's an Xbox One X enhanced game. So it's
which is pretty big.
Glorious 4Ks, all the Ks. Yes. Beautiful looking. And it's not alone, because they added 5 more games to the enhanced backward compatible thing list of games that look pretty. Also included Darksiders, Gears of War 2, Portal 2, Star Wars The Force Unleashed, and this is a biggie, Red Dead Redemption.
I have seen so much love for 4K Red Dead Redemption.
Oh my God. I've seen so much love for like Force Unleashed in 4K and just seeing comparison screenshots.
Star Wars is always kind of a thing that as soon as you put Star Wars in front of the title, everybody's got a boner for it. Nerd boners are scary.
It's even better when you could say Star Wars FU.
Yeah.
And then the sequel, FU 2. Their fault for calling it Force Unleashed. That is not the only backward compatibility news from the week, because they announced a ton of original Xbox games are going to be hitting the backward compatibility program this month, split up into two different weeks. So on April 17th, next week, we are going to see Blinks the Time Sweeper, Breakdown, Conquer Live and Reloaded, The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind, Hunter the Reckoning, Jade Empire, Panzer Dragoon Orta, and SSX 3 all added to the list.
That's a pretty hefty drop.
That is a hefty, hefty drop. And that's not all, kids.
Nope.
Because the following week, April 26th, if you're a Star Wars fan, you're in for a treat. Because the games added on the 26th, Destroy All Humans, Full Spectrum Warrior, Mercenaries, Playground of Destruction, MX Unleashed, Star Wars Battlefront, Battlefront 2, Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, Jedi Starfighter, Republic Commando, and Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords. And, just because they can, a import-only title, Panzer Elite Action Fields of Glory, is going to be playable as well.
I know that the Knights of the Old Republic is a series that has quite a bit of following.
Oh, yeah.
And much fanfare. I mean, apart from the typical nerd boner Star Wars fanfare, this is like the Knights of the Old Republic is one. I know the acronym for it, and I've never even touched it. I know nothing about Star Wars.
Everybody but knows what KOTOR somebody, is.
Yeah, as soon as I see that, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Knights of the Old Republic scroll.
I know what that thing is.
So I was like, I understand that reference.
The biggest letdown with all of this news is the fact that prices for these games have been going up like crazy this past week.
Pretty expected, yeah.
Like, one example.
You've been, like, keeping lists.
I haven't been keeping lists of, like, pricing, because chances are the ones I want, I'm just going to get digital, since they'll be, like, $10-$15? I know Morrowind has already popped up on the Xbox store, and it's priced at $14.99. And previously, you know, everything was $10. A handful were $14.99. So I'm expecting similar pricing, $10-$15 for all of these. And when there's something like Panzer Dragoon Orta, which last week you could get on eBay for $20, now it's going around 70.
Wow.
Yeah. So and I'm kind of tempted to sell mine.
It doesn't even have achievements.
But it's Panzer Dragoon Orta. And Panzer Dragoon.
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, my
God. I don't
understand
that reference.
Panzer Dragoon, it's pretty much what Crimson Dragon wanted to be. Remember Crimson Dragon?
I didn't play that either.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that Games with Gold or Game Pass or something? I don't know. There's too many games to remember.
I believe I have it, and I just haven't even played it.
Oh, well then fucking play it. What the hell?
That backlog struggle is not a joke.
Yeah. But I tried checking all my local game stores this week. Pretty much nothing is in stock at any of them. They have shitloads of original Xbox games, just none of the good stuff that's going to be playable, which sucks.
Yeah.
And then
I have...
Go ahead.
I am genuinely curious if they're just going to throw down that many titles in April. What are they holding up their sleeve for E3?
Ooh.
Like, you can't help but wonder about it. We're too close to E3 for all these announcements to just go whizzing by without, you know.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Did they even do anything for E3 last year? I know they announced the OG compatibility, but nothing actually came out then.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
But you
we'll
know
see.
That because the whole backward compatibility thing has been a highlight the last 2 years, you know, they've got to have something, anything up their sleeve.
I'm waiting for next up. Now on your console, you could play Dreamcast games. Woo!
Yeah.
I would lose my shit if that
happened. It's just so their dedication to keeping the older games alive is admirable for starters, but, you know, not to be ignored either.
No. And the best part of all this is all the people who are like, oh, well, backward compatibility doesn't matter. Who cares about old games? Mm-hmm. A lot of people seem to care about old games with, you know, how excited people are about this news, pricing going up on all these classic games, sales going up on backward compatible games, the fact that there's 360 games getting re-released in Xbox One game cases.
Yeah.
I mean, there's demand for this. If there wasn't a demand, we wouldn't keep seeing games added to the program.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I am thrilled about these games. I'm disappointed. I thought I owned Jade Empire already. I apparently don't. I don't know what the fuck I did with my copy of Jade Empire. I'm glad now I never got rid of Panzer Dragoon. Now you get
hunting down another one.
Yeah, if I can. I don't know. I think I'm going to a flea market on Sunday, and they usually have some OG Xbox games there that maybe I'll find something good. Fingers crossed.
I've never thought to check the flea market for games.
Really?
I don't know why. Well, I mean, they're not particularly close to us anyway, so we don't go. But usually when we do go, it's for trading livestock and stuff. So I've never really thought to just be like, oh, I should go look for some random ass games. I need to add that to my to-do list.
I wonder if your flea markets are significantly different than our flea markets up here. Like, ours is basically like a whole bunch of people having a yard sale at a movie theater drive-in.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
And you're talking about, like, trading livestock, so I'm guessing it's significantly different down there.
We have the closest one to us. It's, I mean, we call it a flea market, but we also call it the stockyard. And basically, it's just like this big ass open field. And there's a couple of buildings that kind of look like old barns where they have, inside booths, and you can rent a booth and put a table in there and have stuff hanging up and all that. And then everybody else just has like, there will be outside their shelters, and you can have an outside booth where you put up a couple of tables and put your things out. And then there's others. People who will just rent table space and not have any cover over them or anything, like a yard sale that you just sit at. Some people will, you know, sell things out of the backs of their cars or vans or whatever, but, you know, you walk around and there's everything from guns and livestock tend to be the most popular things.
I don't think anyone sells guns up around here at the flea market.
You guys probably have better regulations. We need to take a page from y'all's books.
there will be people selling, like, you know, the one booth is like a bunch of knives, or there's one that's literally just the guy who runs a game store like an hour away. He'll go to this flea market with a bunch of games and systems and everything else and just sell them there.
Yeah, no, here you would like... You can actually go to one side of the market and get, like, they will make fresh chitlins and fried pig skin and all that. Or cracklin, what we call that.
That sounds like what we call a farmer's market.
No, our farmer's markets are different. That's where the farmers actually go and, like, set up tables with their produce and stuff. But you can't. Our farmer's markets are shit, which is really weird because, you know, redneck land. You'd think we'd have some amazing farmers markets. We don't. They're just awful. You just go and get, like, there isn't.
Again, I'm talking to someone whose internet was knocked out by a bus driving into a wire, so nothing surprises me with your area anymore.
It's true. But I think the reason that farmers markets don't do better here is on the sheer grounds that everybody just grows their own shit anyway. Yeah. So that might be the case, but
maybe. Anyway, a little bit more news. Let's get back to video games here. Game Pass is getting a bonus game on Monday. Did you hear about that?
No, wait.
Bomberman Live Battlefest is joining Xbox Game Pass on Monday. Just middle of the month, bonus game here.
Random surprise. Yeah. See, what are they going to throw at us on E3?
Who knows?
I
cocaine for everybody.
Your Xbox now randomly spits out $100 bills. Yay!
Speaking of things being added to things that involve people playing games for no added cost, NHL 18 has joined the EA Access Vault. So if you are a game or a EA Access subscriber and a hockey fan, good news for you.
That's a very small number of people, I assume.
Eh, probably a couple. I don't know.
Unfortunately, I liked EA Access, but I actually let it go because it was mostly sports games. And I think it's a great deal if you're into sports games.
See, I think there's
but I let it go enough, and switched over to Game Pass.
I think there's enough non-sports games in EA Access that it's absolutely worth the $20 a year.
Yeah,
if you can get the code, $30.
Yeah, if you, I was gonna say, if you can get the code, sometimes rare, it's like $20 or $24. If I saw that on sale, I'd probably get it anyway. And
it's a $6 difference.
I'm a cheapskate. I have to be frugal, Joe. I don't have choices. I live in an area where buses hit telephone lines.
True, but there's just so much other good non-sports stuff in there, like the Battlefields, UFC. I don't really consider a sport. I consider that more of a fighting game. Plants vs. Zombies, all the PopCap stuff, Dragon Age, Black.
I already have those. Like, I own them. So that's...
Well, then that's your own fucking fault.
Too. Like, I know it, but like I own The Sims, and I own... you know, other than like Battlefield, I don't play Star Wars, so I wouldn't be into the Battlefront games. But other than,
speaking of shooters, though, how's this for a segue? Speaking of shooters, Ghost Recon Wildlands Season 2 Pass was announced. And the big news with that, Sam Fisher is joining the game.
Yes. We did talk about the Season 2 Pass, but we didn't know about Sam.
So that's exciting news. Deal. Even better.
And my husband.
Go ahead.
My husband has actually been playing that mission already.
Really?
Because it's free. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I didn't know it was free.
It's part of the free stuff. So
nice. But yeah, the best part of that is that Michael Ironside is back as Sam Fisher, which, you know, he never should have been booted out of the role.
I don't know the difference between his voice and somebody else's. But when I said that, my husband was like, oh, really? That's so cool. And I'm like, okay. I played Splinter Cell. But I don't remember the differences in the characters' voices.
Mm.
I think I've just glossed over with nostalgia as time goes on. It's just been like, all the Splinter Cells were great.
Maybe.
And that's all I remember.
I don't know. Last bit of news I have, though. This is very, very interesting news. It was revealed that Minecraft on the Nintendo Switch is getting Xbox achievements.
Yes, I'm not surprised.
Gamer score and all. So you could play a Nintendo Switch and earn Xbox achievements on a Nintendo platform.
Which I think it's a good thing.
I think it's an amazing thing. It's just that it's like the first time that I saw my mom and my dad hanging out after being divorced for, you know, all of my life. Like just seeing, because my mom and dad had a messy divorce when I was at like one. So I never really knew having a mom and a dad together. And just in my life, it was always my mom's side of the family and my dad's side of the family. There was never any intermingling. And when Ashley and I got married, just seeing like my family members mingling together and being friendly and talking and just, it was so weird to me. So seeing an Xbox achievement pop on a Nintendo Switch is just, that's mind blowing to me.
I think it was just kind of part of the course though. I mean, once they added them to iOS and Android, there wasn't a whole lot of, the only thing I would have expected Nintendo to balk at was the whole, oh, you have to sign in and have an Xbox Live account. And I mean, once they smooth that over, what's it matter? You know, ta-da, here you go, have everything.
I don't know, maybe it's because Nintendo doesn't have their own kind of achievement or trophy system. They're like, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, it's not any kind of competition. So
go ahead, Xbox, put your achievements on there. We don't care. I wonder if this could lead to any other games from Xbox showing up on the Switch. I still think Rare Replay should be on the Switch. I think it would be perfect for the platform. Too.
It does make sense. It makes sense for Rare to be on Nintendo.
Yeah, do like a limited Xbox version of the game that only has the classic retro stuff, because getting the 360 games playable on the Switch might be a problem. But all the older stuff that's already just in the basic Rare Replay, I think that would be incredible to have on the Switch.
Yeah. I'm one of those people, though, I think exclusivity is bad. I say it all the time. Mm-hmm. So, hey, they wanted to put that shit on Nintendo, I'd be like, man, that's cool. I hope you can get achievements for it. Yeah, you want to buy your favorite game again? Go for it.
I saw on Reddit there was a rumor about, I want to say, a new Splinter Cell or just some kind of new game announcement rumor. And someone was like, oh, Microsoft needs to jump on that and buy it up as an exclusive or something. Ooh. Like, no.
Them to buy. I don't understand this whole concept. Like, and maybe I'm weird, but I have never bought a $500 gaming console for the exclusive games. Like, I bought Xbox for a myriad of reasons, but their exclusives wasn't it. It doesn't matter to me if Sony gets Call of Duty DLC a month early. It doesn't matter to me if Xbox only has, you know, Halo and Gears. It just doesn't matter. I didn't buy it for that. I bought it for, you know, all the other things that it can do. And I'm not going to break, like, everybody's like, oh my God, I went and bought a PlayStation 4 just for God of War. Okay, that seems really crazy to me. Like, if
to be fair, God of War has been getting astounding reviews so far.
It has. And I think that's fantastic. Congratulations. You know, have a good launch and have a good game. I think every game should be on every platform.
I can understand first-party exclusivity. That's what you're trying to drive sales to your console for. But third-party stuff, no. Third-party games should be everywhere. Third-party exclusives need to stop completely.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's going to be an Xbox lifetime exclusive. Fuck that. Let other people play it.
Yeah.
It's not fair to gamers.
Any benefit. It's so weird to just, what's the word I'm looking for? Alienate, you know, 2/3 of a gaming population because you want to be on one box or another.
Yeah.
It's just so odd for me. Like, I was relieved when Hellblade came to Xbox because, hey, that's more money for Ninja Theory. They made a great game, and it needs to be out there so that they can profit from it, so they can make more great games.
Yeah, which we'll actually be talking about that in a little bit. We're going to kick off our reviews with two games that at one time were PlayStation exclusives, and now they no longer are, which I think is awesome.
More games for everybody.
Yeah. So are you ready to dive into the reviews?
I am.
Cool. We are going to kick things off with East Origin, developed by Nihon Falcom, published by Dotemu. It released April 11th on Xbox One for $19.99 after previously being a PlayStation exclusive. So hooray, more people get to play an amazing game. Following a devastating demonic invasion, the twin goddesses use their magic to bring the inhabitants of the legendary East safely into the sky. While the demons work to construct Devil's Tower and reach humans' new abode, the goddesses disappear. As a mighty warrior or cunning mage, you must seek the goddesses in Devil's Tower. With your swordsmanship and spells, can you banish evil from the land of your ancestors? Ooh. This is pretty much an old-school action RPG. Storyline-wise, you investigate missing goddesses in a monster-infested tower, and it's up to you and allegedly your rescue group, but, you know, really, it's just you. That's how it always is. To get through the tower, save the day, kill the monsters, beat the bosses, everything else, and, you know, it's always, always in your hands alone. Despite the fact that there's how many other people there, like, we're gonna go off and we're gonna venture and clear out this part of the tower, and then you get there and there's fucking enemies everywhere. Like, you guys are awful at this. gameplay's traditional hack and slash style gameplay. Kill monsters, pick up power-ups, skill points, and move on. Power-ups are really cool in this. As you kill enemies, they can drop various items, which can boost your attack, your defense, the experience that you gain. The neat part is that the more of them that you pick up, the more powerful the boost is. So if you pick up a whole bunch of strength boosts in a row, it'll start off of like a 1x multiplier to your damage, and then like a 1.5, 1.6. It just keeps growing over time. I think I got mine up to like a 5x multiplier on damage. So you're just wrecking motherfuckers after a while.
Wow.
Yeah. The more you pick up, the more powerful the boost, but they do degrade over time. So if you're not picking up boosts, you'll see the little icon, You'll just see it like start to wind down. And if it runs all the way out, it resets back to zero. So you got to keep killing monsters, picking up the boosts to keep it going. Speaking of killing, this is fun. The Xbox One version of the game has an exclusive new feature.
It is
a gore option. It allows you to adjust how much blood there is when you fight enemies. Obviously, there's nothing like M-rated or highly gore. There's no decapitations. It's still a T-rated game, but it's nifty to see an RPG as you start hacking at enemies. Normally, you know, you kill an enemy and they just disappear into a puff of smoke. This time, if you're hacking away at an enemy, you'll just see blood splatters appearing on the floor. And it was a neat little feature. There's like three settings for how much gore you can set in the game.
Wow.
I don't know, it's just nifty to see an old school RPG get all bloody as you mow down monsters. I mentioned the skill points or the SP earlier on. You can bank those and spend them on a variety of different perks. At the little saving statues, you can talk to the statue and either save your game or you can buy some, I forget what the name is, but they're basically like perks that last over the whole game, whether it's like an increased item drop rate, strengthen your armor or weapons, move faster, or you can even bank up all your points and buy one that increases how much SP you can gain, so it makes it even easier to get more shit. I haven't really got anything yet because it takes a while to build up the SP, so I basically decided I was going to bank up everything until I can afford the increased SP gain and then worry about the rest of the stuff. Story is really solid, voice acting is really solid, the major downside in terms of the story is that it is a fairly short game. Not something that's going to be a 40-hour epic. The main story could take you anywhere from like 8 to 10 hours to get through it, which isn't bad for a $20 game, but you usually expect more out of an RPG.
I was about to say, for $20, that sounds reasonable, but for an RPG, that sounds odd.
It helps that there's two different playable characters, maybe a third one later. And if you want all the achievements in the game, it's going to take you like a minimum of 6 playthroughs.
Oh.
Yeah, even more.
It became a 60-hour game.
even more if you want to try, there's an achievement for beating the game without dying at all. Yeah.
So this one's going to have like a really high TA ratio.
Probably. It'll be a time sink for sure if you want to get a completion on this. But if you're just trying to play through it one time and move on with your life, you know, it's a fairly quick, enjoyable experience. Sadly, the game does feel a little bit dated. The visuals got a nice sprucing up. Things are nice, crisp, and clear. When you're in the inside of the buildings, everything is all sprite-based, so it looks great. There is an outside of the tower section where it's in like a 3D polygon view. It looks dated. It's crisp, it's clean, but it just looks like you could tell this is an older game when you see it. And then they have FMV cutscenes. I've gone into this with like when we covered the one, PS2 classic on PS4 that they spruce up all the game visuals, but then the FMV cutscenes play and they haven't touched them. So as soon as one of those cutscenes play and it's all pixely and all blurry and it takes you back to the days of 480i resolution, it's just the cutscenes are not pretty. But the game itself, crisp, clean, everything looks nice, especially the sprites. I think high-res sprites are always going to look good. It doesn't matter how old the game is. Like, I could still go back to NES games and I think they look great. I can't go back to PlayStation 1 games and think they look great. Or like Sega Saturn, those look awful. N64, yeah, like go back to Mario 64. It's an amazing game. Holy shit, it looks terrible. Like how many there's like 4 polygons that make up Mario's hat. Everything is blocky and square. It just visually, it didn't hold up. That's why I'm glad they redid that game on the DS. But, the only other real downside I have is that the game is a little bit deceptive with how open it is. It seems like there's a lot of different branching paths that you can take. But every time you take one, if it's not the right way, it's almost immediately a dead end. So in reality, the game feels quite linear with a facade of having more open-ended exploration. But even still, you could run around, grind, and kill a bunch of shit if you want. Overall, game is fantastic. I say this with every RPG that we cover on Xbox. Absolutely fucking buy this game. Support RPGs on Xbox. If you're not an RPG fan, I think it's still a very recommended try. It is a lot of fun. Action fans, hack and slash fans are going to get a good time out of this. And again, with all the playthroughs, and if you're big on completions and you want something that's going to last you a good while, this is definitely worth picking up. But, if you don't own it on another platform and you own an Xbox One, buy this game. Buy it. Let's get more RPGs on Xbox. Let us support RPGs that are on Xbox One. That's all I got to say about that.
Nice.
Good stuff. Next game to talk about is called Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, developed and published by Ninja Theory, released April 11th on Xbox One for $29.99. From the makers of Heavenly Sword, Enslaved, and DMC Devil May Cry comes a warrior's brutal journey into myth and madness. Set in the Viking Age, a broken Celtic warrior embarks on a haunting vision quest into Viking Hell to fight for the soul of her dead lover. Dark Mika covered this one, wrote in a review, and Cole, you're going to do a lot of reading today, aren't you?
I am going to do so much reading.
Because you don't have any games of your own this week.
I know, I slacked. I did a thing, and I had a week off. All right, so Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice is an over-the-shoulder third-person action-adventure game. You play as Senua. She's a Celtic warrior in search of her lover's soul. The game is about psychosis, where there ceases to be a line between what is and is not, between fiction and nonfiction, giving reality a new dimension, a new perspective. The puzzles are split between various types of perspective changing. Most are puzzles similar to shadow puzzles in Resident Evil 7, where you have to find items lined up in the world and move around them until you see the symbol you're looking for. Others change the landscape completely, removing obstacles from your way to help you advance. There is combat. It's melee-based with a kick-ass sword. You fight various types of enemies, about a dozen different types, but they never feel stale or too easy. I played the game with combat on easy and still died in combat a few times. There's a few bosses, which are all completely unique from every other enemy. The combat isn't its mainstay. It shows up every now and then, and just as quickly as it shows up, it's done and gone. So if you don't like combat, there's not too much to worry about. Combat sequences aren't long, nor do they show up all that often. I'm conflicted on that personally. I like that fighting isn't a constant thing, because that would totally get in the way of the story, but at the same time, the combat was amazing, so I kind of wanted more.
So visually, needy.
Yeah, visually, holy shit. I put over 2,100 hours into my X1S last year.
That's a lot.
This game is the best. Yeah, this is the best looking game out of every game. I've played on the X1. I found myself actually looking at the scenery a number of times, and I don't do that kind of stuff. Also, lots of people say it's highly cinematic, which stands to reason because there are chunks of the game where they mix live action into the 3D motion capture characters. Honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen that in a game before. There were times when I thought that Senua was a real person and not a computer character, and it didn't help that all the live-action characters interacted with her like they did. The audio was amazing, especially the voices that talked to Senua almost the entirety of the game. They move away and get closer, go from quiet to louder many times. There's multiple voices talking all at once. Some talk against or for her. Sometimes they talk to each other, sometimes they ask questions, sometimes they laugh at Senua and berate her. Every environment had its own audio too, dripping of water, rain, thunder, wind rustling things. It was all very well done and made each area feel real. There's also a collectible, lore stones, that tell you Norse mythology stories, which were really fucking cool. I'll admit straight up that I am biased in favor of this game heavily. My family has a history of schizophrenia. My great-grandmother was institutionalized for it. My mother and grandmother are both on various medications because of it. And I refuse to take medication for it because it makes me feel dead inside. So for me, this was a really emotional game. It made me cry a lot. As I'm writing this, I'm still crying, actually. This probably won't be quite the case for all of you. There are extremely sad parts that'll probably make you cry in this. After all, it's a fairly bittersweet story overall. It's been on Steam and the PS4 for a while, but it was just added to the X1 finally. It's the same price everywhere, $30. It's 29, right?
Yeah, $29.99.
It's about 10 hours long, give or take, and it's 100% worth that price for everyone. I have trouble thinking of a type of gamer who wouldn't enjoy this game.
Shiz Black.
Also, yes, yeah. I was about to say it too. Also, for the first week of the X1 sales, if they reach 50,000 sales or of the game, they'll donate $25,000 to a mental health charity called Mental Health America. And if they reach 100,000 sales, they'll donate $50,000 to it. They worked with mental health groups to make the game, and they're donating part of the proceeds to mental health charity. I can't think of anything better. So if this game seems at all interesting to you, please get it now.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good about this game.
I want to touch on a couple of things and expand on them too, as if that review wasn't long enough. The voices that Senua hears, it's not so much that they're moving away. It's kind of supposed to feel like they're crowded in her head. And so they're at different locations. You really want to wear headphones when you're playing this. The proper term for the voices in her head are furies. And you really need headphones to get the full effect of how the furies are kind of quarreling with each other almost in Sinua's head. There is a narrator in her head as well. And it's kind of implied that the narrator knows that the player is there, but the other furies maybe aren't aware of it. So the narrator will speak to the player directly. And then I lost my train of thought. There was something else he said that I wanted to add on to, and now I don't even remember what it was. They did have mental health professionals who helped, actual, you know, psychologists helped Ninja Theory with this story, and also people who have lived experience with psychosis. And so the way that Senua moves throughout the world is affected by her mental health condition, and it becomes apparent that at times you're never quite sure what is reality and what is delusion. And the furies don't help with that at all.
I was gonna say when she was mentioning the audio that pretty much everybody I've talked to says this is a game 100% play with headphones.
Yeah.
And the better really the headphones, the better the experience.
Yeah. It makes a really big difference. The furies during combat, like she mentioned the combat, the furies can actually help you, and sometimes they will. They'll give you hints. They'll say, watch out if somebody's coming up behind you. They'll berate you. Oh, she's down. She's going to die. She can't do it. She's going to do this. And it's really poignant when you can hear just the disappointment drips in their voices. The voice acting in this is just incredible and very, very well done. Like you have those moments when you're hearing the furies and you're just like, fuck off. I'm going to prove you wrong.
I wonder how much disappointment Shiz heard while he was playing the game.
Probably just his own, because he was incredibly frustrated with the puzzles. The puzzles are intended to make you feel like you need a different perspective, and they're perfect within the context of the game. And the context is, you don't know what's real and what isn't.
No.
You just don't. At any given time, anything that Senua encounters could be a delusion. The body's hanging from a ceiling, or a broken staircase, or, you know, a door that just isn't there. You're never really sure.
No.
And if you're not going to be patient and take your time and try to figure out how to manipulate the world for Senua's benefit, you're not going to enjoy the puzzles in this game. No. It's just, if you're going to hit the toggle button and stay in run mode and bust ass through everything, you're going to miss a lot. And you're just not going to see the obvious little intricacies that are there. And
I think Shiz's big issue was the fact that he was playing this with an achievement guide open. Like,
yeah,
fucking experience the game for what it is. Play off stream. You don't have to stream every single game, and especially a game that's as emotional as this one. Like, just do it on your own. Enjoy a game for what it is. Not everything needs to be a stream. Not everything needs to be, I don't know. I think there's just some games that you gotta
game that you want to just sit down and take in and take your time and, you know, feel the emotion. It is emotional. And even if you don't break down into tears, there's just going to be times where you finally overcome, you know, a delusion or whatever, and you just exhale.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, I, because it will head fuck you a little. And that's exactly what it's meant to do, because it's trying to give you a realistic representation of that psychosis.
Yeah.
That's quite the challenge. I mean, even just the way that Senua looks in the world, like some areas are just brighter than normal or duller than normal. And it's all just a way to represent her mental state.
I'm guessing this is one of those things that if you and Dark Mika were doing a show together, you would just spend 9 hours on this game alone.
Probably. Want me to stop?
Yeah, we got to move on. Next game to talk about is called Extinction, developed by Iron Galaxy, published by Modus Games, released April 10th on Xbox One, PS4, Steam for $59.99. You are one of the world's last Sentinels, a soldier named Avil, equipped with the skills to battle the endless wave of Raveni. Fight massive brutes and their minions across sprawling countryside, defending cities and rescuing refugees torn from their homes. When I fired this up, it was pretty much like Attack on Titan, the video game, but not the Attack on Titan property. You start every level in a city area. You have to take out like the little minions called jackals until the big ass Raveni spawn, which are gigantic Titan looking monster creatures. That are out to wreck the city, wreck survivors, and of course, wreck your fucking face. And they will, repeatedly. The goal is to save civilians and kill jackals, as well as destroying the armor on the Raveni to build up a kill gauge. Once it's filled up, you're able to decapitate the Raveni and save the day, unless it's a mission with multiple Raveni, and then it's just back to square one, and then you die a bunch, and then you respawn a bunch, and then you get your ass kicked again. The big thing is that the armor on the Raveni, they pretty much protect their limbs and their neck. When you destroy the armor, or if they don't even have armor, you're able to dismember their legs, which will knock them down, which is always helpful if a Raveni is destroying a city. And there are some missions in the game where you have to save a city with a certain amount of percentage of the city still intact, or if it falls below that, you automatically lose a mission, stuff like that. If you're getting low and you need to slow some of the Raveni down, just chop their legs off. It knocks them down. Unfortunately, they can regenerate their limbs. So if you're taking your time, hurry the fuck up or else they're going to kick your ass. The story is split up into 7 chapters, each with a number of missions. Each mission has a main goal as well as a handful of side goals, things like kill X number of jackals, beat it in a certain amount of time. There were a couple that's like kill a Raveni while it's missing like 2 limbs, which is always fun. There's even an achievement for killing a Raveni, which, you know, you have to decapitate them to kill them while both arms and both legs are off.
Oh my gosh.
So you're basically killing a stump, which is fun. you have various skills in the game to spend your skill points on, as you kill jackals and destroy, as you save citizens, kill Raveni, destroy their armor, stuff like that. You will earn skill points that use on different skills like higher jumping, faster citizen teleporting. When you save a citizen, you have to hold the button and it teleports them out of the city. You could get more health. The more health is really helpful because you will die a lot. The only real penalty for dying, thankfully, in most stages is having to respawn and run back to the action, but it does happen frequently and it can be fucking annoying. My biggest gripe with this game is how frustrating it can be. The Raveni can routinely kill you in just one smash. Jumping in the camera can be irritating. You have a grapple that allows you to get some extra height. You could grapple onto something and then jump, and for some reason, you'll just like clip through something, or you'll bump into his arm and it just knocks you off of your trajectory. There's just a lot of frustration with some of the controls in the game. I wish the camera was a little further out. I think it's too crowded in there. Just minor things that just add up. It can also get incredibly repetitive. Even the extra game modes are just different takes on the campaign. If you're tired of playing the story, do a randomly generated mission instead. Tired of the randomly generated missions, do a daily challenge, which isn't just a randomly generated mission, or do a skirmish, which is a never-ending randomly generated mission. Everything is pretty much just more of the same of save citizens, kill jackals, kill Raveni. Repeat. Story's not the greatest either. It's enough to keep you playing, but after a couple of chapters, I just started holding the B button to skip all the dialogue, because it was just, I had zero investment into these characters. None of the characters that you talk to before and after missions actually show up anywhere else but the talking. So things will happen that you just get told about, or people show up, they just show up and then they disappear and whatever, they were just there. There's so little investment into the characters in this game. The repetition isn't necessarily bad because it's still a fast-paced and enjoyable game as long as you don't mind some occasional camera issues and you're okay with how repetitive it can be. I give it a try. It's an enjoyable game. I do have some gripes with, you know, minor things in the game, but overall it's still an enjoyable hack and slash, you know, original Devil May Cry style combat with a lot of jumping around, a lot of hacking and slashing, and it's fun taking down gigantic titanic monsters and decapitating them. It's just fun to do. $60, though. If this was a $40 game, it would be so much easier to recommend. But at $60, it's just going middle of the road. Try it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Next game to talk about is called Dead in Vinland, developed by CCCP, published by Playdius. It released April 12th on Steam for $19.99. Dead in Vinland, or Vineland, I'm still not sure which it is a game of management and survival mixed with elements of RPG and adventure around a family of Vikings trying to survive on a mysterious island. This is another one from Dark Mika, so take it away, Cole.
I am the voice of Dark Mika today.
Pretty much.
Congratulations, Mika. You sound like a redneck.
Hot damn.
Dead in Vinland is a 2D survival management game. You play as a Viking family. Your home was burnt to the ground by people wanting your blood, so you escape on a boat, only for a storm to shit all over your hopes and dreams, wrecking you on an island that you have no knowledge of anyone ever being before. Benefits, you
such
have
a
your
good
strong
intro to the review.
Right? As soon as
shits
you say
on your hopes and
shits
dreams.
All over you.
Sorry, I'm amused by that.
It's okay. I'll forgive you this time.
Goddamn right you will. It's my show. Anyway.
You have your strong warrior wife, Blodawed?
Oh my God. I won't even try saying Blodawed. Blodawed. B. You have a wife, good B. Enough.
Your agile hunter daughter, Carrie, and your mystic witch sister-in-law, Moria. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Sure. Oh, and you're, that's a funny way to spell Eric.
Eric or Eric?
Eric.
Just go Eric.
Kind of a pussy for a Viking, honestly. Boy, he's already got shit on in life, and now he's getting shit on by Mika. I say you're Eric, I'm going to go with Eric, but only because it starts through his eyes. You control all of them the same way, even choosing who talks, sometimes giving it a slight visual novel feel. So you're more the hand of God that controls these poor puny I can't even say this sentence. So you're more the hand of God that controls these poor puny mortals by your whims. Full disclosure, I fucking suck so bad. In this game, you have just so much to manage all at once. And fucking hell, it's too much in my mind. I played it on easy and couldn't get to fucking day fucking 10 to save my goddamn life.
She's so happy in this one.
But let's explain why I couldn't tell by telling you some of the things you have to manage. Fatigue, hunger, sickness, injury, depression, all stats that increase, and some of which I can't figure out how to decrease, and they all increase constantly. These are just a few stats. There's also traits, and some of them are dog shit. Like tired, you get fatigued more easily, or gluttonous, you get hungry more easily, and food doesn't take as much hunger away, or depressed, which makes you more depressed. Yeah, and that's just three of so many bad damn traits. There's also every single possible resource that you need to keep track of, from each type of food you find, because they each have a different stat they cause issues with, and certain amount of hunger they get rid of, to building resources like stone, rope, fabric, wood, iron, etc. Everything. Everything is to be kept track of, and you will need a fucking spreadsheet and an eagle eye. Probably a few rabbit's feet, too, just in case. I have it on good authority that the more rabbit foot you have, the more rabbit feet, the more of them you have, they cancel each other out. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Nice.
Anyway.
And you have a lot of limping bunnies.
And a lot of, don't make bunnies. No. All right. Even on easy, this game is so hard just because everything increases and you don't really know how to decrease all of it. I couldn't get rid of depression to save my life.
Me neither. Two of my
characters. Yeah. Real talk, though.
Shit's getting real.
Two of my characters were useless. Not Mika. Two of my
Me
characters
too.
Within the first hour of gameplay, which included the tutorial. If I knew what to do to tell them to buck the fuck up and turn that frown right the fuck upside down, I'd have gotten further. But that just beat my ass black and blue. Made me a bit depressed even. That being said, I'm like stupidly bad at these games. If they took all these stats away and gave me 5 million of every resource, I'd probably still die somehow. So none of this is the game's fault. I'm just bad. Real, real bad. And I can admit that. The game, though, it's fucking beautiful. It's all 2D, obviously, and really detailed. It's ironically bright, colorful, and beautiful for such a bleak game. Survival games are
I didn't realize how many depressing games she had to take care of. It's actually kind of funny.
I feel bad, Joe. And I was going to say you should feel bad, and then you're like, yeah, it's funny. Fuck off. Survival games are always bleak. You're expected to die a number of times, and most games like that, the surroundings are similarly bleak. In this one, though, it's a lush, beautiful landscape. We call that juxtaposition.
Yay.
We learned a word today. You also can increase how many people work with you from your starting 4 to plenty more over the course of the game. And there's good people and less than stellar assholes to deal with. It seems like maybe the people you find and join you can die, but if any of your family members die, it's game over. But I can't swear to that. So my opinion, if you're not into these games, you're fucking terrible at them, or you're just starting them, this one won't be for you. It will kick your ass badly, and it might turn you off of them. If you don't mind being beat to a pulp constantly, or you love these games, then it's a total buy. It's beautiful. The conversations they have are realistic. The ways they act are realistic, too, and it's a really good game. However, because of the type of game it is, you either like it or you really don't. It's $20, and you'll get 40 to 50 hours of play out of this at least. So I think it's really worth it if you're into this stuff or don't mind getting creamed constantly.
Sounds good. That might be the most vulgar review we've gotten from her.
I feel like that was me and just like Uncanny Valley or something.
I also want to point out that she spelled full disclosure wrong. She put discloser.
There were a whole lot of spelled wrongs, but it's okay.
Anyway, next game is called Shadowbug, developed and published by Murrow Studios. It released March 30th on the Switch for $8.99. Leap slash splash, you are the overpowered ninja hero Shadowbug. Save your home forest from the evil factory by slicing monsters to pieces. Venture through the beautiful and twisted landscapes full of action and adventure as the ultimate ninja. Our buddy Zach Lyons actually covered this one, and he couldn't join us this time, so he wrote in his, and I'm going to read one so that you can breathe. How's that?
That sounds good. Breathing cool. Is good.
Cool. So this is what he has to say. He says, Shadowbug is an interesting creature. You play a, surprise, surprise, bug that's as dark as a shadow. And your goal is to reach the end of each stage as quick as you can while scoring as many points as you can. Each stage has a 3-goal list of targets to try and achieve, like many mobile games such as Angry Birds. a time to be under, a point threshold to exceed, and simply completing the stage. Each goal met gets you one star for the stage, maximum of three per stage. I'm not sure if there's any incentive to collect all the stars other than self-satisfaction, but it's nice to have those goals to work towards at any rate. The twist with Shadow Bug is that you may move left and right, you cannot jump. But your bug character is a ninja, so it can slice any opponent on screen just by tapping on it, even if there are impassable barriers preventing you from walking that way. So if you've reached a dead end and some enemies spawn above you, tap on each one and you'll kill them all with one hit apiece, and move vertically through the stage until you find a way to move forward. It's a unique dynamic to be sure, but I don't think it's well suited to a home console experience. To be blunt, I did not really enjoy my time with Shadow Bug, but I feel like I'd did better on my phone. It is available on iOS and Google Play stores, which is great, but it felt out of place on the Switch. Why? It's a portable console. It clearly something that you would play better in handheld mode.
That's what I was about to ask. I was kind of like, how did that happen?
I don't know. He says, my main problem was the controls. You have two options for how to play: handheld with the Joy-Cons attached to the Switch, or on the TV using the Joy-Cons independently. The latter is extremely clunky and I don't recommend it at all. When the game is on your TV, you waggle the right Joy-Con like a Wii remote to move your reticle to aim at enemies and tap A to attack them. There are many fast-paced moments where you need to be super precise aiming and tapping, and the motion controls on the Joy-Con weren't up to snuff. By the 10th stage, I straight up gave up playing on the TV because it was so frustrating. Playing on the Switch itself, however, was a much better experience, as you use it like a phone and tap the screen to attack enemies, thus negating the problem of motion controls. Tapping is heaps more accurate and speedy, which adds to the case of this being more of a mobile title than a home console game. If the main draw of having it on the Switch is so you can play it on a full screen, forget it, because that playstyle just ain't fun. As a person who prefers to play on the TV, when given the choice between TV and handheld, it's pretty disappointing. Visually, the game is striking to look at, a dark and smooth color palette with lots of creepy monsters to kill and stages that become easier and easier to be killed in, as the spike pits and deadly flowers and harsh projectiles become more frequent and more twisted to behold. Unfortunately, again, I've seen this style done before and better several years ago. There's a mobile game I believe came to Xbox called Badland, which if I hadn't looked it up, I would have guessed the same company made both games. It also had three goals per stage, a creepy and dark art style, and a bug-like player character, but it was more unique, the controls more interesting, and honestly, just plain more fun. See this game and thinks it looked interesting, I'd say a solid try it if you're playing in handheld mode, but as much as it pains me to say it, specifically talking about the Switch version, I'd have to say deny it if you're playing on TV. Bummer to hear, because I thought the game looked awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're someone who plays on TV and it's more of a mobile experience, I guess, you know, you got to play it on mobile. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Not play it on TV.
Anyway, next game is called Kate Must Die, developed and published by Strength in Number Studios, released April 5th on Steam for $14.99. You are Catherine, an extremely powerful psionist with a, psionicist with a flair for cyberpunk style. You have awoken in a dank sewer without your mind powers. You must figure out how to escape the sewer without losing your life while the blood witch Annalinia tries to make you insane. This is another one from Dark Mika and another one that you're gonna do.
Really?
Yep, go.
Fine. Kate Must Die. Well, first things first, it has an extremely weird way of spelling Kate. So she says spell it, dear reader, which, aw, she said I'm a dear. It is spelled K-A-E-T. Okay, yep. Now that that's taken care of, it's a survival puzzle game. There's no real resource management, so it's more alien isolation type of survival rather than general full-blown survival games. Even the premise of the story is similar. You are Catherine, which is spelled weird. Mm-hmm. Your name is never mentioned in-game as far as I know. The devs tell you that she's Kate on the store page. So you wake up in what appears to be a large sewer system. Think Ninja Turtles. You are magic to some degree. However, there's a wee beta bitch afraid of the dark to such a degree it drives you mad, and sadly you don't have your nightlight. This sounds like me last night. Or a place to plug
you
it
mean
in.
Earlier this show.
Earlier this show. Yeah. You know.
Cough, cough.
I am a wee beta bitch that's totally afraid of the dark. And coyotes. Your objective is to solve the puzzle for that floor. Lights are on, and you have a time limit. As that time reaches zero, More and more of the lights in the sewer turn off, which turn off is always random each playthrough. However, you have, and I can't believe I'm fucking saying this, magic mushrooms. They let you make magical orbs of light for a few seconds so you don't go batshit quite as fast. But you have to find them, pick them, and get more as you run out. Each level gives you an extra something you can collect. Level 2 gives you blood, which you drink and can stun enemies with a hand blast. There's about 5 levels. That's no big deal. That's easy, you're thinking, but you're stupid and wrong. There are enemies called hoods, effectively giant tomberries. Whoa, okay, if you've played Final Fantasy, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, tonberry. It's a little green dude with a knife that creeps towards you slowly and stabs you.
No, but if it's coming at you slowly. If they touch you, you die. They're shambling zombies. If they touch you, you die. There's zombies sitting against walls all over the fucking place. If you get close to them, they jump you like a horny teenager, and guess what?
You die?
Fucking die.
Nice.
You don't just die, you fucking die this time. Also, you go insane. You guessed it, you fucking die.
Nice.
You will die a lot. That's the premise of this game. You will die until you figure out the roots and how to get through shit. And it took me 30 to 40 minutes constantly dying to figure out level 1. It has a time limit of 6 minutes before all the lights go out. Wow. The puzzles are various fetch quests, basically. The first level is a bit easier as it shows part of the solution to the puzzle at the start. The evil witch, Annalenia, referred to as Anna, whose name is only mentioned in notes written by previously trapped people, is shown putting a skull on a stick with a magical circle under it and another bunch of sticks around it. You have to find a skull and bring it to the post and set it up, then go out to find the next one until all posts are filled. The second level, it took me 10 minutes before I figured it out, what I was supposed to do, because I finally found one of the objects, a dead guy. Had to carry the bodies to flame sources and roast them. Thankfully, level 2 has 30 minutes before all the lights are out. Not that that helped much. That's not twisted as fuck, right? The game is fun, and honestly, it's pretty good looking. The only issue I have with the game is there's not enough time to beat the level before the lights go out, even if you know where everything is. Beyond that, I hit an issue in level 2, so I couldn't beat it. You have to drag the bodies. Only issues one body. There's only one way out, and there's a sitting zombie right there. You can't drag the guy past the zombie without it jumping you, and you can't get the body further away from the zombie because there's a pile of crap in the way. You can jump up it, but not while carrying a body. This made the puzzle impossible for me to complete. Stunning the sitter didn't really work either. It didn't stay stunned long enough, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do to get past that bastard. It's not a bug. I'm just stupid. The end result, it's $15. You'll be playing this for a few hours at least. Many of your deaths will make you jump, as most of them will be by sitting zombies you didn't even notice. It's fun, and death usually isn't unfair or anything, so you always feel like continuing. I say go for it. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Sounds good. One final, not game to talk about, but some DLC to talk about. It is Shantae Half Genie Heroes Costume Pack DLC, developed and published by WayForward, released April 10th on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, Wii U, Vita, and Steam for $7.99. And obviously, you must own Shantae Half Genie Hero because this is DLC. These fabulous outfits aren't just for show. They provide Shantae with 3 brand new arcade-style play modes. Bounce off walls, throw stars, and teleport with the ninja costume. Beat the life-draining heat by collecting sunscreen in the beach costume. And lay down the law with your pellet blaster and block-shifting ability using the mighty Switch Force-inspired officer costume. Indulge your passion for fashion while testing your mettle with this chic and challenging DLC. Since there's 3 costumes, I'll just go through them in the order that the game has them. First one being the officer costume. Basically, it turns the game into Mighty Switch Force, as you would expect given it is Mighty Switch Force inspired costume. It is side-scrolling run and gun with phase-shifting blocks to help with platforming. You collect gems to power up your gun. So the more gems you get, the more powerful the gun is. You level up with them. You go from normal shots to a 3-way shot to large bullets to a large 3-way bullet shot. And then if you get hit, you lose gems and can make you lose your power as well. So leveling down is possible, and it's a bummer when you get to full power and then you get hit and then you lose it. There's 15 total stages with boss fights at the end of each world, 5 collectibles in each stage when you rescue your friends who have been I guess, captured by the bad people in each stage that you have to try and arrest. All of the stages are taken from the main game, but reworked with mighty Switch Force blocks, plus an all new story and writing to go with it. And there is some funny, funny shit in there. Out of three, this was easily my favorite of the costume pack. The next one was the beach costume. On your way to the beach to relax and you forgot your sunscreen, so you gotta go quick. You're back to the hair whips, no gun. Your projectile is a beach ball for ranged attacks. Also, you're able to hold Y to enter your personal bubble, and you could float up in the air, which I thought was hilarious. Instead of collecting your friends, you collect squids instead. There's three per stage. The big twist with the beach costume is that there is a sun gauge, since you don't have sunscreen, and it constantly fills up. And if it hits max, you start to lose HP, like really, really quick. There is sunscreen littered around, so you have to make sure that you're constantly picking up sunscreen as you go along. If you run into enemies and they hold you up, you either have to backtrack to get sunscreen, or you have to run as quick as you can to find sunscreen, because that gauge fills up fast. This was easily, to me, the most frustrating of the three, and not for people who don't like speedrunning, since you gotta move quick and constantly. The third costume is a ninja costume, because now you're a ninja and you want to beat up bad guys. What other story do you need for something like that? You have a sword attack instead of hair, and you have throwable. I think they're kunai. I think the game called them shuriken, but they're not, so I don't know. And then the Y button is a teleport. So if you hold a direction and then the Y button, you'll teleport a little bit in that direction. It helps you with platforming, helps you with collectibles. There's squids again to collect. And then with this one, you collect the gems to level up. And the more that you level up, the faster you are, the faster your attacks are, and the more damage that you do. All three of them have the same 15 worlds per stage. You save in between worlds, so it's not open-ended like the other Shantae games. They're very self-contained side stories. They have their own separate save files. They have their own separate sections, everything. Overall, $8 on this one. I think it's worth the $8 for the Mighty Switch Force officer costume alone. Beach was not that fun to me. I hate being rushed in games like this, and just that never-ending filling up of the sun gauge just irritated the shit out of me. I do not see myself playing the beach one that much. Ninja was fun. That's probably the middle of the road for the three costumes, but the officer costume alone makes the $8 absolutely worth picking up. So for $8, the costume pack DLC, I give it a hearty buy it, especially for the officer costume.
It's interesting to hear costumes that actually change the gameplay mechanics, though. That's neat.
Because it doesn't just change the mechanics. It pretty much gives you three new games.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. That's very impressive. I mean, the levels are all levels that you've played before, but there's always little unique twists and changes to the stages to make them feel at least different enough to make you want to replay them. And the writing, as always with Shantae games, the writing is fantastic and hilarious, and I absolutely loved it.
Good.
But yeah, that is it for this episode. Feels like we've been doing this for 2 days now. It's been a long one.
I know. I'm ready for a nap.
Cool. So that is it for this show. We're gonna end things with some more Adventure Pals music, so enjoy that. And Cole, do you have any final words to end the show?
Fucking no.
One of these days you're going to have actual final words.
I know, but not today.